Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY 2023 earnings conference call of Endurance Technologies Limited, hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishit Jalan from Axis Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Q4 FY 2023 post-results conference call of Endurance Technologies. From the management team, we have with us Mr. Anurang Jain, Managing Director, Mr. Ramesh Gihani, Director and COO, Mr. Mamassimo Venuti, Director and CEO, Endurance Overseas, Mr. Satyajit Ray, Director and Group CFO, and Mr. Raj Mundra, Treasurer and Head Investor Relations. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Jain for his opening remarks, post which we can begin the Q&A session. Over to you, Mr. Jain.
Thank you, and good morning to everyone. I would like to share details of how we have done in the fourth quarter of FY 2023 and in the whole financial year of FY 2023. In India, in the fourth quarter of FY 2023, as per the SIAM data, the two-wheeler industry sales de-grew by 4.15% compared to the previous financial year. Scooters grew by 11.9% and motorcycles de-grew by 10.1%. The automotive industry in India had a degrowth of 0.5%. In Europe, in quarter four, there was an increase of 17.9% in the European Union automotive sales. On the financials, I will briefly talk to you about the fourth quarter of FY 2023 and then the financial year FY 2023. In quarter four, our consolidated total net income grew by 7.8% and was rupees 22,551.54 million as compared to rupees 20,914.76 million in quarter four of the previous year. Consolidated EBITDA grew by 13.5% and was rupees 3,062.1 million as compared to rupees 2,698.12 million in quarter four FY 2022. Consolidated EBITDA margin was at 13.6%. The net profit grew by 0.2% and was rupees 1,364.67 million at 6.1%. This includes the Maharashtra State Mega Project incentive in quarter four of rupees 3.71 million. In quarter four, our standalone total income grew by 6.1% and was rupees 16,595.76 million as compared to rupees 15,640.65 million in quarter four of FY 22. Standalone EBITDA degrew by 0.3% and was rupees 2,058.34 million as compared to rupees 2,064.65 million in quarter four of FY 22. The EBITDA margin was at 12.4%. Standalone net profit degrew by 8.9% and was rupees 1,045.11 million at 6.3%. This includes the Maharashtra State Mega Project incentive in quarter four of rupees 3.71 million. For the financial year 2023, our consolidated total net income grew by 16.6% and was rupees 88,494.73 million as compared to rupees 75,901.78 million in FY22. Consolidated EBITDA grew by 7.6% and was rupees 10,816.93 million as compared to 10,056.76 million in FY22. Consolidated EBITDA margin was at 12.2%. The net profit grew by 4.1% and was rupees 4,795.76 million at 5.4%. This includes the Maharashtra State Mega Project incentive of rupees 589.27 million. Our subsidiary Maxwell Energy had a sales of rupees 180.29 million with an EBITDA loss of rupees 118.51 million. In FY23, our standalone total income grew by 18.8% and was rupees 67,957.07 million as compared to rupees 57,214.81 million in FY22. Standalone EBITDA grew by 7.2% and was rupees 8,074.34 million as compared to rupees 7,530.52 million in FY22 with an EBITDA margin of 11.9%. Standalone net profit grew by 7.1% and was rupees 4,089.17 million at 6%. This includes the Maharashtra State Mega Project incentive of rupees 589.27 million. There was no net debt and there was a consolidated positive cash available of rupees 4,100 and 93 million. The detailed financials are available with the stock exchanges and on the Endurance website. I would like to share key points for the financial year FY23. In FY23, 77% of our consolidated total income, including other income, came from Indian operations and the balance 23% came from our European operations. In India, in FY23, rupees 9,350 million of new business was won from OEMs other than Bajaj Auto, which included HMSI, Hero MotoCorp, Ather Energy, Hero Electric, Mahindra, TBS and Tata Motors. This new business win included rupees 7,800 million of new business and rupees 1,550 million of replacement business. The total business win for EV till date is rupees 6,004 million. This includes rupees 3,765 million new orders for EVs, mainly from Ather Energy, Hero Electric, Greaves Electric, which is Ampere and Aptiv in this financial year. This rupees 6,004 million of EV business win at Endurance does not include the rupees 1,290 million of new EV business win at Maxwell Energy. In FY23, EV business wins was 42% of the total business won at Endurance and Maxwell. I would like to mention that we have rupees 25,668 million worth of requests for quotes from OEMs. Since FY20 in India, rupees 28,880 million of business has been won, out of which rupees 21,060 million is new business and rupees 7,820 million is replacement business. Out of rupees 21,060 million new business, rupees 4,410 million happened in FY23 and a further rupees 6,920 million will happen in FY24. And the balance rupees 9,730 million will happen in the financial years 25 and 26. Some of the new business wins which will start in this financial year are TBS rupees 402 million suspension business, which will start at a Kolar Karnataka plant from November 2023. Hero Electric suspension business of rupees 489 million, which will start at a Halol Gujarat plant from June 23 onwards. We have won the CBS brakes business of rupees 273 million from Okinawa, the EV scooter maker, and this business will start from October 23 at our Waluj Aurangabad plant. The Greaves electric or the Ampere suspension business of rupees 155 million will start from our Kolar Karnataka plant from August 23. Also, the Greaves electric Ampere brakes business of rupees 290 million will start at our Waluj Aurangabad from August 2023. The Ather suspension business of rupees 150 million will start in June 23 from our Kolar plant at Karnataka. The Ather brakes business, we have won a very large business of rupees 1591 million. Supplies have started and this will reach peak in the next financial year of FY25. Apart from the 9,350 million business wins, we have received an additional rupees 1200 million order from Hero MotoCorp for supply of front fork shock absorbers from our plant at Halol in Gujarat. This business has started in April 23, which is last month. The ABS capacity is being now ramped up to 600,000 single and dual channel ABS assemblies by July 2023. This, of course, will be at our Baluch Aurangabad plant. We have the new 35 tire air suspension forks for supply to KTM Austria will start by end of this financial year with the help of KTM technology from our Baluch Aurangabad plant. The value of this business will be rupees 400 million per annum and will be directly exported to KTM Austria. Our battery management system assembly line, that's the SMT line, will start operations from July 23 at our Baluch Aurangabad plant. The value of the business when it reaches its peak will be at rupees 800 million per annum. For the EV scooters, we are ramping up our capacity to 240,000 per annum for the battery pack and the motor housing EV aluminium castings. The total value of this business one is rupees 1,000 million per annum, which will start in this financial year and will reach the peak in next financial year. For Ather Energy, we have started fully machined side channel aluminium casting at our Vallam plant with a full business volume of 200K per annum and the value of rupees 410 billion. This business will peak in this financial year. For our aluminium forging business, which we have started with our collaboration with FGM Italy, we are increasing the capacity from 280,000 parts per annum to 600,000 parts per annum at an additional business value of rupees 750 million from our Baluch Aurangabad plant. This business, this additional business will start in this year and reach peak in FY25. At our Chakan plant near Pune, we are installing machines for structural aluminium castings like swing arms, subframes and structural fairings for both EV and IC models, which are going in for lightweighting for Bajaj Auto, KTM, Piaggio and TVS. This business starts in this year and will peak in next financial year of FY25. The Suzuki scooter front fork business of rupees 1,398 million, which we won in the last financial year, will start from our Baluch Aurangabad plant in the next financial year of FY25, and we are installing a 1 million front fork numbers new line for the same. Apart from Bajaj Auto and RE, we have now added TVS for supply of inverted front forks. The supplies will start in quarter 1 of FY25 and the business value is rupees 212 million. I would like to mention that our customers now recognize Endurance as a trusted and capable partner in the value chain in terms of both technical and financial strengths. The electronic vehicles market continues to offer significant opportunity for growth to the auto component industry. It is estimated that the Indian EV market will touch rupees 150 billion by 2030, growing at a CAGR of 90% in the next decade. Therefore, at Endurance, we have taken a major step towards the same to harness this opportunity by executing a share subscription and purchase agreement for acquiring 100% of equity share capital of Maxwell Energy Systems Private Limited in a phased manner. We have concluded the acquisition of 51% stake in Maxwell in July 2022. Maxwell, as you know, is in the business of advanced electronics, particularly in the battery management systems or the BMS for two-wheeler EVs and automobile and two-wheeler battery packs. We are happy to inform you that we have won rupees 700 million order of BMS from Hero Electric and rupees 495 million of business from Greaves Electric or Ampere. With supplies will start in July 23 and September 23 of this financial year. We have won new BMS business of rupees 1290 million in FY23 and rupees 496 million till date in financial year 2024. And we have a pipeline of RFQs of rupees 1310 million. Till date, since FY22, rupees 3,286.2 million business has been won by Maxwell, which is expected to fully realize in the financial year 26. With the current order book, order pipeline and technical strengths between Endurance and Maxwell, we are confident of achieving our goals in the embedded electronic space. In FY24, we are focusing on a substantial sales growth and a positive EBITDA. To help our overseas operations to grow in the European two-wheeler component profitable aftermarket business, we have acquired an Italian company Fenotecnica in July 22. This company is involved in the business of friction materials and components for braking systems like brake pads for two-wheelers. Also, in November 22, we acquired the Italian company Newfren SRL. Newfren is engaged in the business of brake discs, centrifugal clutches, pads, and brake shoes for two-wheelers. The acquisition of our past Italian collaborations, Adler and Grimeca, for clutches and brakes in 2020, Frenotecnica in 2022, and now with this acquisition of Newfren in November, we are creating a center of excellence in Italy for the business of premium components in the two-wheeler segment, giving profitable growth opportunities to the Endurance Group. Last year, we had a sales of approximately 15 million euro, and we want to double this in the next few years. As this brake assembly business is growing with addition of Bajaj, TVS, Royal Enfield, Yamaha, Hero MotoCorp, Ather, and HMSI, our second plant at Baluj, Aurangabad, has already started operations. With this new plant, our disc brake assembly capacity has increased to 6.2 million numbers per annum, and the brake disc capacity has increased to 8.1 million numbers per annum. As you are aware, the supply of two-wheeler ABS assemblies to Bajaj Auto and Royal Enfield has started. We have reached a run rate of 400,000 ABS assemblies per annum. As you are all aware, competition is mainly from Bosch, which controls the major market share in this Indian ABS two-wheeler market. We are also in the process of supplying our dual-channel ABS, also by quarter two of this financial year, and we have scaled up additional assembly lines by 200,000 ABS assemblies per annum, which will take our capacity to 600,000 ABS assemblies per annum. We are further planning to increase the volumes to 1.2 million, both single and dual-channel ABS assemblies per annum, for the second half of the next financial year, which is FY25. We have, in March 23, also started manufacturing the ABS valves, which is an import substitute, which is not only a technology component, but will help us in substantially lowering our costs. Also, due to increased orders from Bajaj, Yamaha India, TVS and Hero Electric, we have added a new plant at Chakan to help increase our supplies and volumes to 4.5 million wheels per annum from 2.8 million wheels per annum. This plant has already started in July 22. We will reach peak supplies in quarter two of this financial year. As far as Europe is concerned, in FY23, we have won 83.87 million euro of new business, mainly from the Volkswagen Group, Daimler and Stellantis. In the last 2 years, 158 million euro of business has been won. I would like to point out that Endurance, both in India and Europe, is actively pursuing its focus on gaining access to new technology and focusing on new product, organic and inorganic growth. As mentioned earlier, Endurance has also entered two backward integration product areas. First is aluminium forging axle clamps for inverted front forks with the help of a collaboration with FGM Italy. We already started supplies to Bajaj Auto and directly to KTM. We have also won orders for stem assembly and under bracket aluminium forging from Hero MotoCorp, and we are actively engaged on new business wins with other OEMs for supply of aluminium forgings other than inverted front forks. As you know, this is used by EVs for lightweighting also, and that's why the capacity is being increased from 280,000 parts per annum to 600,000 parts per annum in this plant at Baluj, Aurangabad. The second product, of course, is the bias steel braided hoses for the ABS application for mid and high-end bikes. This supplies already have started from last year. Both these projects are helping us in our profitable growth. In FY23, aftermarket sales grew by 2.91% from rupees 4,189 million in the previous year to rupees 4,310.9 million in financial year 23. We are now exporting aftermarket parts to 31 countries, and aftermarket growth is a large focus area for us. In FY23, our export sales for India standalone business degrew by 5.6% from rupees 2,241.19 million in the previous year to rupees 2,116.23 million in FY23. The major impact was due to lower export sales in countries in the regions of Africa, South America, as well as our neighboring countries. On the environment front, I would especially like to mention Endurance is striving to be carbon neutral in its plants by effective use of solar power and wind power. creation of carbon sinks by driving tree plantation and thereby creating dense forests, and also by driving use of natural gas and LPG gas in place of electric power and furnace oil. As mentioned earlier, the use of furnace oil has been completely stopped at Endurance. We achieved a carbon neutral percentage of 22.6% in FY23, and our aspiration is to reach 50% in the next 3 to 4 years. We are also focusing on lowering hazard and waste generation and to achieve zero waste to landfill. At Endurance, it will be a continuous endeavor to grow through organic and inorganic growth with a focus on technology upgradation, quality improvement, cost, environment, health and safety. We will do our best to fulfill our stakeholder expectations by following our 5 values of customer centricity, integrity, transparency, teamwork and innovation. We at Endurance are very positive. We have a very positive outlook based on our new large business wins, including for electric vehicles, both in India and Europe. With these opening remarks, I would like to invite questions from all of you. We have one of the Maxwell founders, Mr. Akhil Aryan, and our Maxwell CEO, Mr. Vishwas, also on the line for taking your questions on Maxwell. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aditya Jhawar from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations for resilient performance. And thanks a lot for putting out a detailed presentation. My question is on the European business. Massimo, if you can highlight that what was the government contribution, government support in Q4 for the energy prices? And considering the energy prices have come down, what is our expectation for support in FY24?
Yes, so in the previous quarter, in the fourth quarter of 2022-23, we closed with more or less 17.8% of EBITDA, and we recover 100% of the increase of energy cost, considering the support from our customer and also the incentive from the government. Only for the fourth quarter of the previous financial year, the Italian government gave to the company 45% of credit asset. And so it means that thanks to this 45% plus the contribution from customer, we offset the impact. And for this reason, we came back to a normal, let me say, profitability for the European. Starting from the 1st of April, unfortunately, the government will reduce this contribution from 45% to 20%. And so it means more or less an impact, considering the same volume of the previous quarter, of 1.2 million of euros. And so the expectation for the future months is for sure a reduction due to this reduction of contribution, but please consider that the energy cost is going down in an important way. Only to give you an idea, today in the market, yesterday the energy closed with 120 and the gas with 35. And so it means more or less 25% less compared to the previous quarter. And so my expectation is that we can try to offset this reduction of contribution from the government with the reduction of energy costs into the market.
Okay, that's quite helpful, Massimo. So overall, what is our expectation for margin in FY24?
The expectation for sure is to improve the profitability compared to the previous year. This I can guarantee. We close in the total financial year with 14.5%, and please consider that with the same level of aluminum of the previous financial year, the profitability in terms of EBITDA should have been 14.9% and 5.1% in terms of net result. My expectation, considering that in this moment I'm absolutely positive for the situation in terms of volume and also energy cost, is to improve the profitability compared to the previous financial year, for sure.
Okay, that's quite helpful. My final question is that how is the outlook shared by the OEMs in Europe? Are you seeing a higher level of wholesale dispatches to replenish the inventory how is the situation in terms of, you know, the consumer sentiments on the ground?
So unfortunately, the sentiment is not so positive, as you can imagine, due to the high level of inflation. We are waiting a recession because this is the situation into the market, not only in Europe, but probably also in United States. The previous quarter closed with an increase of registration of 18%, and the total financial year with an increase of 2.9%. But we are so far from the volume, normal volume pre-COVID situation, because considering the 2019, the market closed with minus 24% compared to 2019. The positive aspect is that also April was positive. More or less, the market in Europe closed with 17% of increase. An important impact is due to the increase of production. In Germany, only to give an idea, in January, the market closed with an increase of 29% of production, in February 24%, and in March 67%. So from my point of view, in this moment, we have a benefit in terms of registration due to the delivery of the car stopped in the last 18 months for several problems, as you know, of supply chain for semiconductor and so on. Now the OEM is increasing the stock, waiting the situation in terms of demand. But in this moment, the sentiment is not positive due to the inflation.
Perfect. Thank you. All the best, team.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mumuksh Mandlesha from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on the good performance. Sir, you indicated the new orders for both standalone and Europe that will be ramped up in next few years. So this would be a gross addition, right? And can you indicate on net basis, considering rundown of old orders, what kind of growth or performance you see over the industry in both India and Europe?
See, as far as India is concerned, it's very difficult to know what will be phased out and we know what is going to be added. And that also depends on the volumes which are mentioned in the LOIs or in the purchase orders. But I can only say that we will always outperform industry, which we have done. If you see even last year, the two-wheeler industry sales were 8.3%, automotive industry sales were 11.8%, led by, I think, passenger cars. But endurance sales growth was 18.8%. Europe also, the EU industry sales last year was 2.9%. We have grown 12.7% in euro terms. So I can only say that we will outgrow. See, there would be very difficult to say the, you know, the impact of, you know, sales going down because of, I mean, on existing. That's why I always say there is a replacement business and there's a new business. And also in my opening remarks, I mentioned that the new business which we have won, how it is going to increase in the next 2 to 3 years. So very difficult to say. I can only say we'll grow higher than industry. And that's why we are taking a lot of orders. And that's why I emphasized on that, both total order wins as well as EV business wins, both India and Europe.
Got it, sir. And I mean, on the EV specific components, so we have made inroads into BMS. And what are the plans to look at other EV-specific components going ahead, sir?
See, right now we are looking at other electronic components also. But right now our major focus is to consolidate and grow and become profitable in Maxwell. And that is our focus. So that's the reason we have won a lot of, you know, new business assets since FY22, you know. This year we want to be positive at the, you know, at the EBITDA level with a substantial growth. So we need to see that we really strengthen Maxwell and make it a very financially strong company with good orders, with customer you know, strengths in this company. So that is the focus of course, you know, Ms. Akhil Aryan, Alex Corridor, the founders, our CEO, Mr. Bishwas, as well as all of us at Endurance, you know. So right now, I think focus is, even there's a huge opportunity, the way, you know, I've told you the two large orders we won, we have a pipeline of orders, you know, I mean, RFQ. So we are just going after orders. Many things I've not mentioned, but we are really focused on really growing this company, you know. So other electronics, it is there in our mind. So if a good opportunity comes, we will take it side by side. But right now, the focus is on the BMS, you know.
Yes. Thank you. Just last question. How do you see the two-wheeler industry growth for this year? How is demand picking up, sir?
See, to be honest, from what the customers tell us, it can be 10-12%. But having said this, question is very difficult because, there are so many uncertainties in the future. Very difficult to say what the growth will be. So as far as we in Endurance are concerned, what is in our control is to take new order wins, and that's what we are doing. We are just going after orders in both India and Europe, which is, I've been mentioning it also the last 1 year, and we have been very fortunate to get very, very good business wins, both for EV as well as, brakes, suspension, castings. So I can only say that,
Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah. My question is on European margins, the 17.8% EBITDA margins for fourth quarter. Any sense on how it would have been without compensation from the Italian government? And in that context, how do we see the trend over the next couple of years on the European margins?
Without any. Yes. So first of all, regarding the incentive from the government, as I told you before, in the first quarter, we received 45% of the total energy cost only for the previous quarter. Starting from the 1st of April, this incentive reduced to 20%. Okay, this was the incentive from the Italian government. In Germany, they fixed a price cap with €150. And so it means that in this moment, we are not receiving nothing from the German government due to the fact that the price of energy is lower compared to the price cap. Okay? And so the profitability in the last quarter of this financial year, the previous financial year, was more or less normal, considering the standard on Endurance overseas, because we have been able to offset 100% of the increase of energy cost. Regarding the future, our expectation is to increase the profitability compared to the previous year due to the fact that in this moment, the energy cost is going down in an important way. The gas reached in this moment is more or less €30 compared to €15 of the pre-COVID situation 2019, and the energy is €120 compared to €50. So it's a completely another world compared to the previous financial year. If you consider that in the previous financial year, the leverage of electricity was 280, today we are speaking about 120. Speaking about gas, the leverage was 120, and today we are speaking about 30. And so if the price will remain more or less the same with the stability of volume, from my point of view, we can come back in the normal profitability.
Okay, so the 17.8% is near normal margins for us.
Normal margin in the previous quarter, we close with 67 million of euro of turnover. Okay, 68 million of euro of turnover. So it means plus 8% compared to the previous year. And so it means that in our profitability compared to the previous year, we have to consider a good impact of volume and also an important reduction of energy cost. It will depend from the volume in the next month. If the volume continues to be higher compared to the previous year, I'm pretty optimistic to maintain the same level of profitability.
Okay, got it. And Massimo, can you talk about what was the PAT for the fourth quarter profits, net profits?
Yes, in the previous quarter, we closed with 4.5 million of euro, 6.7%. And if I speak about the total financial year, we close with 12.1 million of euro, 4.9%.
Got it. Thanks for this. Second question to you, Mr. Jain, with respect to the India business on the aluminum die casting, we have started to get good orders on the scooter side as well. So any sense on the electric scooters, the content now, what it is vis-a-vis the IC scooters? In the past, we have indicated it is broadly similar now, but since we have got the orders, is it in line with what we were looking at earlier?
So definitely, orders which we have got from, say, Ather Energy, in fact, or from Hero Electric, Okinawa, definitely Greaves Electric, which is them. So the thing is definitely the orders for brakes, suspension. You see, somewhere we are getting mainly brakes and suspension. Somewhere has been casting. Ather has also given us the side channel castings. So the question is, of course, whatever we are taking is in line with it is in line with the value of you know business wins, or I would say per vehicle content, which should be for brake suspension and castings. It is there. But of course, this is only a start, because we really got into the market for taking new orders just about 1.5 or 2 years ago maximum. We were a bit late in the fray. But now we are really, like I said, 40% of it has been for EV last year, you know. So we are now going very, very aggressively. So I would say it takes time to really add castings to all the OEMs. You know, so it's just a start of a journey. We have a long way to go, including for BMS also. You know, we have won good order wins, but still a long way to go, you know.
Okay, okay. Got it. And lastly, on the India business margin, so clearly we have seen a good impact of commodity prices along with lower volumes in the two-wheeler side. With some recovery in two-wheelers and commodity prices seeing some moderation, would it be fair to say we should be back in early teens now in the coming year and then moving towards 14-15%?
See, I think it will depend a lot on the aluminium and steel prices, how they behave. In fact, aluminium prices are still going up. It's almost doubled compared to FY21, you know. And that's the reason when in FY21, our RMC percent in India was 62%. Our EBITDA margin, I think in that year was 15.57% we closed in that year. Now it is 66.7. FY23, 66.7 is 4.7% higher. And we closed at 11.9%. So I think a lot has to do with, I think, the RMC percentage also. On the cost front, of course, we are doing everything, whether it's other expenses, employment cost in a, you know, in terms of efficiency of people. Of course, I mean, we are doing everything to see how we can sweat our assets, improve OEs in our plant original equipment, I mean, original equipment efficiencies. So there's a lot of work going on. But I'm told that the EBITDA margin amount in FY23 has been the highest so far reported at Endurance. Not the percentage, the amount.
Absolute. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's an absolute amount if you see. So that also indicated that we have done better, you know, in spite of challenging situations.
True, true. But going forward, at least the product mix will also be improving given that pulling machine casting for PVs and ABS.
No, you are right. It depends on the volumes of the product mix, ABS, upside down front forks, brake systems which we are putting up. So all this will definitely help. So, of course, we are very, very highly focused to increase these margins. You know, we must come back to at least 13.5 to start with, you know. So that is our focus, and we'll do our best to achieve that, you know.
Sure. This is very helpful, and thanks to the team for putting up a very detailed presentation. Thanks.
No, sir. That was important, I thought. We thought.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod Amte from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for this opportunity. First one is with regard to the after sales parts, where I think you indicated you plan to nearly double the contribution to sales to around 10%. Where is this confidence coming? What action you are taking up? Because your sales is organically growing and you plan to increase your contribution. So it would be almost like 2.5 times to 3 times the current sales run rate which you want to achieve in 2 years. So can you give some color on that?
Yeah. So as far as market sales as a percentage to India sales is concerned, it's at 6.5%. Our mission is to go to 10% for sure. As now the question, the and that was a plan for FY23 to go step by step. From 6.5 to 7.5, 8, and then take it forward in the next few years. The issue which happened last year was, which we made the budget in February and March of 2022. We didn't expect the issues which were in Africa, South America, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh. There were a lot of, you know, issues related to available of currencies, you know, their macroeconomic factors. So there were many points like this where where we could not, I mean, the sales did not happen to those markets, you know. So we are definitely confident that this year, starting from, I think, June, July, already things have improved in Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, we see. Africa also, we are seeing an improvement, you know. So we feel that this year, of course, will be a much better year than last year. That's the plan. But it's a very, very high focus area because it's a very important area for us. So our target actually, just to correct you, was 10% of India sales by FY26 is what we had mentioned, you know. It was by FY26. Reach 10, because India sales is also growing, as you are seeing. We've grown 18.8%. So every year that's going to grow. So it's 10% of that we want to reach in FY26. But of course, exports forms a very important part also of our sales growth. We're exporting to 31 countries. We want to add another 5 countries in this financial year. We're in the process of doing that. So I can only say it remains a very large focus area for profitable growth. You know, and we are doing everything. If you see our domestic sales, that is really done quite well in this year. So I'm very optimistic that this year will be, a much better year than last year.
Sure. So I thought, I agree with you that you had focus sales. I thought since there was a course correction in FY23 and you are again reasserting the same. So is there a further concrete action on the ground to support those medium-term targets? That was a broader question.
Yes, sir. So there are a lot of actions happening in Indonesia and Brazil. We have actually launched very special type of shock absorbers for, you know, Honda and other Japanese OEMs. And they are very different from the suspension or shock absorbers we supply in the Indian or the other markets. So we are, you know, slowly gaining entry into these large markets where we were not there. So that itself is an effort. It takes time for us to realize, you know, good volumes and good sales value. But there is a lot of effort, even, you know, going into tier 2, tier 3 towns, focusing pan-India for all our products to keep a good growth in all the four parts of India. So there are many, many initiatives happening on that front.
Sure. The second one is with regard to your transmission parts business. If I'm right, it contributes around 5% of your sales. Considering the transition to EV and the risk, what are your thought process in terms of taking this business in the medium terms? Are there any new products possible there to make it a substantial part of your business?
No, here I think, in this 5.5% of business, 80% is for motorcycles. There we are not seeing any traction, much of a traction into EVs. You know, so our transmission business, what we are planning is to get new customers in, and also like we have done for, say, ABS or inverted front forks, we have gone into making aluminum forgings for that, as well as for ABS, we have started with steel braided hoses, and now valves from March we have started. So similarly, we are planning to even start a paper manufacturing plant by July 23, which will help us be more profitable and lower the, I would say, dependence on imports from the US or from China. So this effort is going on as far as the transmission plant is concerned. So question is how we can increase the business, especially for motorcycles. And I would also say for three-wheelers, because three-wheelers we supply to everybody. So once three-wheelers become fully EV, could happen by 2030 or maybe earlier, I don't know. But luckily, 80% of this 5.5% business is for motorcycles, where I don't see anything happening, to be honest, to be able to, you know, lower this business. In fact, we are trying to focus to get more volumes on the clutch business or adding more customers.
Sure. Thanks. And the last question is to Maxwell Promoters. Wanted to check, after the Hero Electric win, we haven't heard anything substantial one, even though the industry has moved on to new AI standards. So wanted to get your feel in terms of what is the actual changes the industry has taken care post April for meeting the AI standard, and what role Maxwell has played or plan to play in next 1 year, because my sense was this was a crucial point for changing drastically the BMS and part of the systems, and you could have played a role. So if you can explain that would be helpful.
Yeah, so just clarifying that the question is, how are we responding to the movement on the AIS standards and how we are using this as an opportunity to grow our order book and win business? Is that the question?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, yeah, so I think that you're absolutely right. The new AIS standards are, you know, firstly very important for the industry and secondly an opportunity for us to enter into long-term contracts with significant OEMs. And like Anurang mentioned, you know, we have won that business even from our focus, like I said, even on previous calls, is to, you know, become long-term partners, deep, meaningful partners with volume creators of 2025 and 2030. So that's the horizon that we operate on, meaning that, you know, we are not trying to go after all of the OEMs that are making, say, a few hundred vehicles every month or so. We're basically focusing on the big business wins that we believe are going to lead to really the EV revolution at the country level. So if you see the wins that we've had with Hero Electric, which is, you know, one of the significant players already in, on the road, you know, they are making a big move with Maxwell, transitioning even the vehicles that are currently, their current models that are being deployed in hundreds of thousands of units every year, will moving forward be using Maxwell BMSs. Another one is Ampere, again, like you know, one of the significant volume creators. After the acquisition by Greaves, they have actually, you know, doubled down their capacity, their team, their plans for new vehicles and so on. And with both of these companies, not only are we working with them on new vehicles, but also helping them transition their existing vehicles to AIS 156 compliance standards, along with localization of their BMS, which was previously being bought from, you know, another country. Over and above that, you already know we have significant business. We are the sole supplier to Hero MotoCorp on their VIDA platform. We are also currently in conversation with a few large OEMs on their new vehicle launches, as well as helping them transition to AIS 156. So I want to just sort of re-emphasize on the fact that, you know, as it stands, Maxwell has been and is in a very strong position to enable OEMs to get a 100% localized BMS that is compliant with AIS 156, that is functionally safe, and the new product that we recently introduced, which has enabled us to win these businesses, which is CT Lite, is a product that is specially designed to be, you know, both cost and quality focused for the Indian two and three wheeler market. So I think that we are absolutely living up and exceeding our plans on new order wins using the opportunity of AIS 156.
Sure. Thanks for the detailed answer. And the last one is, thanks for the detailed presentation. A small request is, since your order book on EV is improving, like the other segments, you have indicated sales consumption from this order book. If you can give a next 2-3 years outlook in the PPT, how this order book will convert into sales, that will be helpful and a guiding post. Thanks.
Yeah, see, I think overall we have mentioned how it's increasing, going to increase in future. Have you mentioned that future? Whatever order, I think that has been put up.
Yeah, I think the total order of 6 billion you mentioned, but how that will convert into sales each of the years, like you so have talked about
that. I think that's been mentioned, how it will convert. Mm-hmm. We have not mentioned the... For EVs we have not given, but we have given overall we have given. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll have an internal call, discussion on that.
Sure, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arvind Sharma from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Hello, good morning, sir, and thank you for taking my question. First question would be on the EV business again. How do these new orders or new revenue from EV business compare with the ICE business in terms of margins?
It's a very sensitive question, but I think I've answered in the past calls. I would say it's good.
Okay.
This is where I don't make money, okay?
Sure, sir. Sir, second would be, you know, you shared the revenue for European business in rupee term. I know you can back calculate, but if you could, just for sake of accuracy, also share the revenue, EBIT and PAT in euro terms, the way we normally do.
No, you want first let Mr. Jain finish the answer to the first question, Arvind, okay?
Oh, sorry, sir, there was some communication gaps.
No, now what was I saying? It slipped my mind. Okay, so I'll tell
Mr. Ray. Profitable business and EV as conventional, right, with profitability.
And your focus
EV
on
product, EV products versus ICE products, profitability.
Yeah. So, okay, so I'll just put it this way, that definitely the profitability is good. Otherwise, we wouldn't be taking this business. I would say the main, I think, focus also for endurance, not only business wins, but it's business wins in our plants where the capacity being used is less. And that's why I specifically mentioned the new orders. They're coming in our Kolar plant in Karnataka, Halol plant in Gujarat, you know. Plants which have a lower, you know, capacity being used. You know, so we are really focusing this new additional order, which is not a part of the 9,350 million, this hero business of 1,200 million has been a really good boon from April 23 onwards. This will really help us and get economies of scales and really improve the profitability in these plants, which have been dragging us down last 2 years. You know what I'm saying? So these are also the focus areas, and we are putting our EV business wins in these plants, you know, because they are doing the similar business of suspension or castings or, you know, brakes. Okay.
Arvind, can you give your attention exactly which numbers of Europe you were looking for?
Sir, the normal revenue, EBITDA and PAT, I think you've shared 4.5 million euros, the revenue and EBITDA.
Oh, you're talking about quarter four or full year?
Quarter four, sir.
Okay, we closed in the quarter four with 67.4 million of euro of income, compared 62.6 of the previous financial year, an increase of 7.6%. Speaking about the EBITDA, we closed with 12 million of euro, 17.8%, compared 7.9 million of euro of the previous financial year, 12.6%, with an increase of 51.9% in terms of EBITDA. Net result, 4.5 million of euro, 6.7% of in percentage, compared 2.7 million of euro of the previous financial year, with an increase of 63.4% compared to the previous year.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir, for this, and apologies for the communication lag on the first question.
No problem.
It's okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vimal Gohil from Alchemy Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Right. Thank you so much, sir. My question is on the engine casting business. Now, what I'm looking for is a specific differential between your content per vehicle in the engine castings for ICE vehicles versus your aluminium casting for battery cases. How are these two in terms of comparison? Is the content higher or lower?
Yeah, so, you know, I have already, you know, mentioned this in the past, that, you know, if you see our, you know, EV two-wheeler, say if I compare IC with, you know, EV, like for IC, we have, say, 7 parts. The crankcases are 2, covers are 2, cylinder block, cylinder head cover, cylinder head. Here we have, there's a battery housing upper and lower. There is motor housing, this plates upper and middle, terminal ground, terminal part, terminal phase, base MCU. There are 9 parts. But here, the weight is 2 kg less. But the value add is just 5% less. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to give you some idea. Now, when you come to three-wheelers, we have the similar 7 parts, but here we have 11 parts. Because you also have the case transmission left and right, which is added to the 9 parts. And here, the value is, of course, much higher. It's almost 25-30% higher on a weight which is 1.5 kg lower. So in fact, these businesses are very good. I'll just say that. These are very good businesses which we are winning. And that's why I said we are increasing 240K per annum sets of castings, you know, mainly for the battery housing, the motor housing, and all these other smaller ones which I didn't mention, you know.
Understood, sir. Sir, just one follow-up there. When you say that, you know, the total ICE-dependent business would include your clutches and your engine casting parts. So
yes,
if you
yes.
just give me the breakup there, how much is that as a total percentage of your standalone business?
No, see, I have not computed these because castings are so varied. Two-wheeler, three-wheeler, four-wheeler. I have not done that breakup. I cannot answer that. I can only, I've answered you, transmission is 5.5%, which 80% is motorcycles, where I'm not seeing much of a traction, to be honest. You know, I don't see anything happening, if you ask me, to lose that clutch business. You know, but I've just given you a sense of the pricing versus the weight. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Number right. of castings. Beyond this, it's not correct to, you know, give more details, to be honest. Yeah.
Understood. So, lastly, question for the Maxwell promoters. Just risks, sir, to the BMS business overall. If you do you see some of these OEMs actually taking their you know, battery management in house? How do you see that as a risk? You know, to our business, will they sort of continue to get support from players like us, or like in the passenger vehicle industry, we have seen that most of the battery management has been taken in house. So, how do you see that as a risk? Thank you.
Yes, so I'll request Akhil to answer that. Akhil or Vishwas?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I think I've spoken about this subject quite a few times. Look, the reality is building a BMS is a, you know, it is a high risk and low value opportunity for OEMs if you think about it, right? So, the BMS is a critical component that goes inside of the battery. And it's not just a sort of an analog device which has just a hardware, but there are algorithms and software that need to be built both for safety as well as accuracy. So whether it is state of charge, state of health, state of energy, state of power, all of these algorithms need to be designed. There need to be different configuration parameters that need to be put in place for working with different types of chargers, safety parameters for acceleration, for range estimation, for charging control, so on and so forth. So what we have seen, and also I think you made a statement saying that passenger vehicles, most people are designing it in-house. I don't think that's accurate. I think that there is also a significant opportunity for us to enter four-wheelers in the near future. In my understanding, there are components that OEMs are trying to build in-house, but when it comes to safety critical components, they are relying on companies that have spent, like at least in our case, between all of us, we've spent over, 8 years building the technology that we are putting out in the market today. We've deployed it over, you know, hundreds of thousands of vehicles with millions of kilometers validated with no failures on the road. So that credibility is something that really helps us build a narrative in front of OEMs that when they're designing new vehicles, instead of taking a bet on building something that could be detrimental if there was any issue on the road, even to their brand or to their product line, they choose to work with people who have, I would say, domain and in-depth knowledge as well as technology that is tried and tested on the roads. Which is why we are seeing success with significant OEMs. Now, the OEMs that you might be referring to that have built their own BMSs are perhaps OEMs that started, you know, much before. For example, when you were, let's say, a Tesla or an Acer or someone like that, and you started 10, 11 years ago, at that time, you did not have a mature offering of Tier 1 OEMs bringing this technology to you. So they were basically forced to design the technology in-house and, you know, build it themselves. But any of the OEMs that are launching, say, even the significant OEMs that are launching their EV products today, there is actually, to some extent, a fight against time, right? You don't have 5 years to design your own BMS and design every single product and build sort of a vertically integrated technology. So at least from the perspective of OEMs designing their own BMSs, we don't see that as a risk. What we do see is OEMs wanting to design their own batteries. They want to own the IP on the battery level. And so they typically want to source the cells, design the electromechanical assembly, and, you know, buy a BMS from, say, a company like Maxwell and assemble it by themselves into a proprietary design. So that's what we are seeing on the two-wheeler side. I think that that trend will continue. There will be other advanced electronics, like Anurang mentioned, that we are also venturing into beyond the BMS. So it's not like we're putting our head in the sand and saying, okay, BMS will be here forever. We are also exploring other advanced electronics beyond the BMS that we will be bringing to market very shortly under the Maxwell sort of umbrella. And the goal primarily is to you know, like I say, our mission is to accelerate the Earth's transition to an all-electric future. And for that, there will be various different advanced electronics required. BMS is our flagship sort of offering today. And I think that will continue both for two-wheelers as well as passenger vehicles in the near future.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this. This was very helpful. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mukesh Saraf from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the castings business. Could you give a sense of currently what proportion of the castings are fully finished? And probably how do you think that proportion can look in the next couple of years based on what you've been mentioning on that business going up?
So I would say that 75% are either semi-finished or fully finished. Our target is, of course, there are some sticky customers who still want to do it in-house where most of the OEMs are giving it out. But they don't want to get into the issue of rejections being sent back after machining, you know. This is a big... So I think today if you see fully machined, I think we would be more at about 40%, 45%, I think. That's the guess I'm taking.
Right.
But if we go to fully machined at 75-80%, that would be a good, you know, target to achieve, which in fact many customers are asking us to do that. And that requires investment also, so we'll go phase-wise. I can't give key by when in future, but definitely I can only say that all the new business we are taking is only with machine castings, you know. And the historic, based on the investments we want to do, we'll go step by step, you know, not the investments.
And this will be outside of Bajaj Auto, sir, these customers that you're talking about who are getting...
No, this I'm telling you a total figure with Bajaj Auto, but of course, see... outside Bajaj Auto, there are certain which are fully machined also. There are certain which are not machined also. So we have to still, you know, the non-machined people we sell have to go to semi-finished or fully finished. You know, because the mindset is to do it in-house with a few of them.
Right.
You know, Bajaj that way is a leader in doing fully machined.
Yeah, so, okay, I understood that. Right. Thank you. And my...
And also four-wheelers is largely fully machined only. Largely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hyundai, Kia, Tata Motors, Mahindra is largely fully machined, which is a very good thing.
Understood.
There are some exceptions, but largely fully machined.
Right, sir. And my second question is on the EV business that you've been mentioning, these order books that you have, 6 billion odd. How are we kind of looking at this FAME subsidy probably not being extended, and you know, how are we safeguarding, say, the volume targets, because these are based on peak, you know, annual basis, peak production basis. So do you see a risk of the subsidy not being extended and the production at the OEMs, you know, falling? We have seen some of these OEMs, when the subsidies got cut, their volumes actually fell quite a bit. So how are we looking at that angle?
See, one of our customers, Aether, already you've seen in the papers last week that they are going to get the FAME subsidy. There's no issue there. Future, what happens beyond FY25, I cannot say. But see, as Endurance, we have to invest in the journey of EV where there is a last focus by the government, you know, and by the OEMs, and for environmental reasons. So as far as we are concerned, our job is to take the business, which we are doing. What happens in the future, to be honest, I can't comment whether they'll extend the subsidy, what happens to these companies, how the subsidy, I have frankly no idea, you know.
Actually, sir, my question was more towards on the profitability side. How are we safeguarded if the volumes actually are much lower than what the company or the customers have indicated? I was actually more looking at that aspect.
Yeah, so the question is, if the volumes don't happen, of course you'll do, less sales. But most of these orders, like I mentioned, are from existing plants. We are trying to increase sales and profitability from the existing plants. We're not setting up a new plant. And most of the capacities already are there, whether it's for assembly or it's for other processes. We already have the investment done. So the best part of this is that we're doing it from our existing plants. I don't need to add much to do this business. You know, so that's the best one. That's why I mentioned in my opening remarks from which plant we are doing it. All these businesses which I mentioned.
Right. Great. So that makes sense. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashin Modi from Equirus Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding, so we have two products in testing and validation. One is CVT with HMCL and dual channel ABS with Bajaj and RE. So if you could tell us, where are we on that?
See, as far as the CVT is concerned, it is still at still at HMCL, but that is, I would admit, is going a bit slow. You know, the kind of traction we were expecting is not happening. And also what is happening with scooters going the EV way in Hero MotoCorp, we are also having a review whether to invest time and money on this or not, to be honest. As far as the ABS dual channel, that will go very fast. In fact, it is our customer, Bajaj, is asking us, they are the ones in a hurry, to be honest. So ABS will happen fast. Like I mentioned, we want to start by quarter two of this financial year. Supplies of the dual channel. That's our target. CVT, we are still evaluating, you know, whether to invest that time and money, because there are a lot of other projects we are doing. So that's a question coming up, but it's not that. We are still continuing with the process with HMCL, you know.
Okay, thanks. And then my second question is on the EV side. So when we have seen, we have got good traction in the e-two-wheeler space. So, could it be replicated in the e-three-wheeler space as well? And what sort of a content difference can we see for us in IC three-wheeler versus an EV three-wheeler?
I just mentioned that. I told you about castings. Brakes, you know, we already supply. So three-wheeler, in fact, I mentioned that there are 11 parts versus 7 parts. The 11 parts are 1.5 kg lower. I'm talking about castings now. With a much higher value add, you know what I'm saying. So similarly for brakes, we're already supplying to Mahindra Electric, and this month we are starting with Bajaj Auto, you know, for the three-wheeler EV brakes system. And we are in touch with others, you know, whoever is getting the three-wheelers, we are in touch to take new business, you know. So right now it's Mahindra and it's Bajaj, which is, you know, where we are going forward on the three-wheelers. It's for castings. And it's for brakes. And, of course, for front fork shocker also. I would say it's front shocker and rear shocker. There's no front fork in the three-wheeler, what we are supplying.
Okay. Thanks, sir, for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this would be the last question for today, which is from the line of Aditya Jhawar from Investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. My first question is to Akhil. So in case, you know, we are working with a construct where the OEM designs the battery and Endurance, you know, provides the battery management system. So in this construct, how should we think about the warranty liabilities? Will OEM, you know, accept the warranty claim, in the sense any issues where the BMS is, you know, are designed completely?
Yeah, so like I said, you know, there are typically clear handovers between the BMS and the battery. So when we say the battery is designed by the OEM, it is essentially the electromechanical assembly. So whenever let's assume that there is a warranty claim, you have to be able to do a root cause analysis and figure out whether the failure was due to a design defect on the electromechanical assembly, or whether it was a failure of an electronics board not able to, say, or, you know, open or close a MOSFET, for example, in a specific case. Now, on our side, we, you know, at least before we supply all of our BMSs, we do a very significant and complete testing of all functionality on every single board. So because we want to be extra careful and we want to protect, of course, our reputation as well as Maxwell, we've been able to supply hundreds of thousands of units without having any significant failures on road so far, which is, of course, one of the big pieces why OEMs trust us. So before we ship out our BMSs, we actually do functional tests of every single feature before we ship it out. And we also provide our customers with test benches on their side where they retest all of these features along with the battery after battery integration before they install it inside the vehicle. So they test the safety critical functionalities before they put it inside, and that's basically where the handover happens. But if for whatever reason there is a field issue, then there is a very detailed process and procedure to identify the RCA or the root cause analysis of the issue. And it has to be attributed either to a design defect on the battery integration and battery design or design defect on the hardware or software of the BMS. So there is a hard line which will allow you to segregate whose warranty claim it will be, so to say.
Okay, that was quite helpful. My final question is to Anurang. So in the presentation, you had given a target of aftermarket reaching 10% by 26. Similarly, you know, can you give some sense that how should we think about four-wheeler contribution in India revenue, which is now about 7.5% by 26? Where can we reach?
See, right now in India, the major business is you know, aluminium castings, where you know, four-wheeler is about 7.5%, which is only aluminium castings. What we are looking at is opportunities for inorganic growth in the four-wheeler segment and technical collaborations in the four-wheeler segment. Because if I have to do brakes, clutches, or any other proprietary product in future, definitely we need a good technology or a good technology partner. So this is what we are actively pursuing to really take the share of business up. Because with us, even the two-wheeler growth because of these value-add products is really going up. And supplying, you know, all our products to all our OEMs, all our four products, you know, to all the OEMs. And even BMS becomes a large focus for growth, you know, for us. So four-wheeler, what we are looking at is, to answer your question, is inorganic opportunity as well as collaborations. In terms of JVs or collaboration agreements to enter this area is what we are looking at right now.
Perfect. Okay, that's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as that was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you.
Yeah, so I have no further comments, but just like to thank, you know, everybody on the call. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.